So, amen. I like what Brother Josh just said and what they were all singing. You have to think about it. How often do you thank the Lord?
Yeah.
And a lot of times we just thank the Lord for our material possessions. How often do you actually just thank him for being so good in general and just talk to him? Amen.
Amen.
So Miss Sheila gave me this before church. It was a lady who needed some tracks and was able to get some from the church. She doesn't go to church here, but she came here to get some tracks. She only had a handful of tracks. She had a birthday party she was going to, I guess an hour or so away, she said, and she needed some tracks. So she only wanted 30 or so. We gave her a couple hundred, and I want to read what happened. We always like to go big, amen. Dear Faith Baptist Church, one of the greatest legacies of a kind is an act in the inspiration of another. I'm just like preacher. I'm reading what she's got here. Thank you for helping me to do the will of God when you supplied me with a bag of Chick Tracks. Thank you for this wonderful gift that will surely and was passed on and on. And thank you for your prayers also, because we passed all the tracks out to children and adults, and not one was rejected.
Amen.
It turned out that the party turned into a whole block party. The whole street came out for the party, and they actually shut the street down. We passed out all the tracks, plus a few extras I had. One little girl wanted to know, what was Jesus' last name? I told her Christ. His name is Jesus Christ. Children came up to us for the tracks as if it were candy we were passing out or a toy. It was very exciting how God touched the hearts to receive his gift, young and old. Your generosity has blessed many. Praise the Lord forever. And it says on the back, Faith Baptist, keep up the good work. Amen.
Amen.
So it was a blessing. She doesn't go to church here. She needed some tracks. She got some tracks. And she handed them all out. She didn't get shot or stabbed. And she said everybody took them. So she probably had a big smile on her face and was handing them out to people. Her idea was that she was going to just have 20 or 30 and get all the kids to come around, and she was going to tell a story and about the Bible, like a Sunday school, and then hand the tracts out to the kids. But as she said, it ended up being the whole neighborhood showed up for this party. So she didn't back down because her plans were changed. She actually went forward and saw an opportunity and got out probably over 300 tracts all by herself. Amen. So that's a blessing. So let's turn to, we're going to make a few quick turns. Of course, I'm always nervous when I get up here. I never have to go to the bathroom until I get up here. But, and I'm usually too honest, which gets people offended, so I apologize up front for that, amen. But, Pastor Ryman always says that Wednesday night is like the hardcore, super Christian, superheroes, whatever he says. So it's really awesome because I can do whatever I want, and no one's going to get mad, no one's going to quit church, no one's going to get offended, because we're all here because God wants us here, amen? Doesn't matter who's up here, as long as we get his word. So that takes a lot of the stress away, that I can say whatever I want and be comfortable with it, amen? So thank you guys for that. So let's start in Hebrews 4:15. Hebrews 4:15. All right, Hebrews 4:15. Let's pray. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord. I just thank you, Lord, for all the missionaries we have, Lord, that are going to other countries, Lord, and leaving everything, Lord, to serve you, Lord. I thank you for the pastors and evangelists, Lord, that are serving you here in this country, Lord. I also thank you for the body of Christ, Lord, that just in their home and in their store and at work and around their family, Lord, are being soldiers and serving you, Lord. We don't need a fancy title, Lord. We don't need anything, Lord. We just need to get clean and get right, Lord. We don't need to get cleaner. We need to get clean. God, please be with my family here tonight, Lord. We've got a few more days left in the work week, and then we've got the weekend coming up, Lord. We have so many opportunities, Lord. I know we get so hectic and so busy. Lord, we get so stinking dirty in this old world, Lord. If we could just get clean and just do something for you, Lord. Please be with this small message tonight, Lord God. Please touch hearts, Lord, and just help people, Lord, and help me, Lord. You know I need it. I just love you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So Hebrews 4:15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So first, it's hard for me to read a verse that talks about feelings, but I got through that. So this is a controversial verse to some people, and I'm using this as a jumping off point, and then I'm going to go into some stuff for you. But it says in the beginning, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched. So what this is saying is that Jesus cares about your feelings. He cares how you feel about certain things. It's easier when you know what you're supposed to feel about certain things, but the Lord does care about you. You can have somebody come up to you and say, how are you doing? And before you even tell them, they're walking away. They don't really care. It's just a sales thing. They're programmed and they didn't finish the course and go to the next course where you're actually supposed to stop and pay attention and pretend you care. But people don't care these days. But the Lord does care. Whatever you're going through, whatever your struggles are, whatever your trials are, the Lord cares. I don't even want to use the word trick. The thing is, you got to talk to him about it. My daughter, I'm going to embarrass her, as always, puts me to sleep here lately. She's been reading some Elsie Dinsmore books. And they sound like really cool books. And this little girl's got character and a backbone, and she's a Christian and wants people to get saved and do right. But my daughter gets so excited. She starts telling me about the books, and I'm just like, shut up. In my head, I don't say it out loud. And I'm thinking, my goodness, I want to listen to what she's saying because I love her, but it's like I'm tired. I just got done working. I got this to do and that to do. I'm not reading the book. I'm not going to read the book. I don't really care, but it's cool that she's excited about it. But that's how people are sometimes. Now she's laughing at me. But that's how people are in this world. When you're talking about your problems, they care to a certain extent, and then they have other things because they're flesh. The Lord cares, though, no matter what. And another part of this verse here, a lot of people like to argue and say, God was never tempted. He can't be tempted. He's God. God was tempted, and he beat it. He got the victory because he is God. So you're Muslim, and you die, and you stand before Muhammad or Allah, whichever God they're worshiping that day. You have the right to spit in his face and tell him you've never experienced what I've experienced. And you're right. We know he's not a real God. You're never going to stand before him anyway. It's just a made-up fairy tale. But with Jesus Christ, you stand before Jesus Christ, you don't know what it was like. Really. He was on this earth for 33 and a half years. And he was tempted, the Bible says. So we're going to look into that. Real quick, let's go to Matthew 4. Now, of course, in Hebrews 4:15, we just read it. But in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So the Lord was tempted. He just didn't sin. So you can be somewhere and someone can ask you something or want to show you something or want you to go somewhere and be tempted, but you don't have to sin. You can stop right there. So first we're going to look at Matthew 4:7, and then we're going to back up and read some. So just for anyone out there that, you know, the Lord wasn't tempted, he can't be tempted or whatever. Matthew 4:7, Jesus said unto him, as it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So who's Jesus talking to there? Satan. Satan's tempting him. And Jesus is telling him, as it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Jesus is telling him, stop trying to tempt me. So he was tempted. So let's back up and read Matthew 4. We're going to read Matthew 4, 1 through 11. And then we're going to go over some things and talk about this. So Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by the bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of that temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So that's the devil talking to Jesus. And then in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, as it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Verse 8, again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. So here's Christ, and he's out fasting for 40 days. Now, preachers always taught us here that 40 is a time of testing. So back with Moses and the people of Israel, you can go through, and there's a couple different 40s out there, but it's a time of testing. So here, the devil, the tempter, comes when the flesh is weak. So it's something as a Christian you want to look out for and be careful. You want to be armed and be ready when your flesh is weak. And what do you notice when you're reading this here when the devil, you know, is tempting the Lord and trying to get him to do something? What does the devil use? Does the devil use his opinion, what he thinks, and what is the devil using when he's talking to the Lord? Scripture. Wow, the devil knows Scripture. So just because you know Scripture up here and you can say it out of here doesn't mean it's right here. So the devil knows Scripture. The devil can quote some Scripture. The devil cannot quote anybody in this room. We've had some devils in this church that could quote Scripture. They weren't living right, though. So it's sad, but you have to realize the devil knows Scripture. Are we not supposed to learn Scripture? No, we're supposed to learn Scripture. How did Christ fight the devil off when the devil twisted the Scripture? Because that's what the devil did. He took the Scriptures out of context and twisted them some. How did Jesus Christ fight the devil off? With Scripture. So it's something about this book, and my pastor's always pushing us to read it and look at it. So it's something about it. When you get into it, it's pretty neat. So let's go over to 1 John. 1 John. So, a couple weeks ago, a preacher asked me if I'd do a Wednesday. I said, sure. And then he called me up and said, never mind, I'm doing it. I said, okay. And then he left to go out of town. He said, you might do Wednesday or you might not. John might call someone else. I'm like, okay. Brother John never called me today. But that's fine. Amen. It's all good. So I'm your second fan, Brother John. No. So 1 John 2, we're going to go to chapter 2. 1 John 2, we're going to read just 15 through 17. One of my favorite verses here. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So, Brother Clinton can tell you, it's all going to burn one day, amen? It's all going to burn. So you can get that Jag or that Mercedes, and there's nothing wrong with having nice things, but it's going to rust and burn one day. So if that's your God or your desires, you're going to have troubles in this life. So, of course, I love the verse, love not the world, because that's my battle, is this old stinking world. So just to give you a nice, pretty picture, I like to picture the world as my chicken house. Somebody who walks in, they have no idea. They're walking in, they're like, oh, man, this is some real neat-looking clean dirt you got on the floor. It's not dirt. It's chicken droppings, chicken manure, and it just dries up. That's just the way they do it for heat and killing bacteria. But someone that doesn't know or the first time they're there, they like, you know, want to have a little dirt fight and throw hunks of dirt and walk through, and kids want to pick it up and smell it and taste it and all this kind of stuff. And it's really funny because you're looking and you're thinking, I just told them 20 minutes ago what we were going into, but they weren't listening. We were told when we're leaving these doors and going out into the world what we're going into. We're just not listening. And we're getting dirty, and we don't care. And over time, we get used to it. And we're walking through the manure, and it's not a big thing. And, you know, your wife or daughter or one of the guys or girls uses the blower the wrong way and gets a bunch in your face and your eyes. And a few months ago, you would have ran and washed it all out, but you're just like, oh, whatever, got to get it done. You get desensitized to it. That's how we get to this world. We get desensitized to it. So let's look here at verse 16. For all that is in the world. So the Bible's saying this is all that's in the world. And there's three things. The lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And the Bible tells us is not of the Father, but is of the world. So I'm coveting a new truck. It's probably not of God. It's of the world. I got a truck. It works. Don't need a new truck. I've actually got two trucks because I steal my mom sometimes and use hers. But the Bible's a clear roadmap on telling us what to do. So the lust of the flesh, let's go back to where we were looking here in Matthew. And what my goal is, what I'm hoping that I'll get through before I sit down, is that you're going to see a correlation. You're going to see that Jesus Christ was tempted just like you are, and he got out of it. Oh, I'm not Jesus. If you're saved, you have Jesus Christ inside of you. You also have his word at your fingertips. So we have no excuse. Now, we're going to make a mistake, and we're going to fall, but what does the Bible tell us to do when we fall? Get back up. And we can go further into, you know, back up in 1 John where we were reading a little while ago, and it is restore fellowship. We're supposed to repent and get clean, not cleaner. So I'm walking through the chicken house, and I get covered in, I'm not going to say that word, poop. I get covered in poop. Should I go back to the house and just get cleaner and then come to church or come to your house? Or should I get clean? I should get clean. And Jesse says, yeah, you better get clean. So, because you'll stink. And what's funny is when you're down there all the time, you don't notice the stink after a few minutes. So you come out of it, and if you were to make this stupid decision just to get cleaner, I'm good. And go on about your day. When you walk in the store, people are going to smell the stink. And you're not going to understand, why are they looking at me like that? Why do they think that of me? I got cleaner. But it's easy to see you're not clean.
That's good.
It's really easy to see that you're not clean. Now, doesn't mean we're going to run up to you all the time and say, you're not clean, you're not clean, you're not clean, because Pastor tells us not to. He tells us to pray for you and love you and have grace, which is all good stuff. It's all Bible, amen? So the hope is that you're going to be reading your Bible and praying and realize, man, I stink.
Yeah.
I am cleaner, but I'm not clean.
Amen.
So the trick is, and I don't want to use that word, your desire should be, what do I have to do to get clean? But let's back up and look at this here. Let's go back to Matthew 4. So Matthew 4, verse 3. And then the tempter came to him and said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Or a crab feast. I don't know. But so that's a lust of the flesh. That's doing it yourself. You know, I don't need God. I got him for salvation. Why am I going to ask him about my job? Why am I going to ask him about my marriage, my relationship with my daughter? Why am I going to ask him about anything? I don't need God. It's crazy how we think. Why am I uncomfortable if someone's praying? Why am I uncomfortable to pray in public? When I was in the mortgage business, this realtor, I'll never forget, and it blows my mind that she came up to me, because I had witnessed to her. She got offended. It was like 3 hours of witnessing to her. But she's just sitting there. The phone wasn't ringing, so she said I could. So I just went through the whole Bible with her about salvation. But months later, she comes up to me. I've got this couple trying to find a house, and they wanted to pray in the house just outside of Denton. I was like, that's awesome. That's really cool. And she was like, oh. And she walked away. She forgot it was me because she just is so used to saying what she wants. But why is it that more Christians don't do that? How amazing is that, that one couple, they were a young couple, they were like 22, 23, they had the courage to fight that temptation of being ashamed, and they just did it. They said, ma'am, we really like this house, but we'd like to pray real quick in the house, and they just prayed, and it wasn't any witch doctor voodoo junk, it was just two Christians who praying, Lord, we're in this place, we like it, but we'd like you to help us with it and let us know. And then they went home, and they prayed about it some more, and they ended up getting it, putting a contract on it a week later. But so here in verse 3, it's the do-it-yourself attitude, the lust of the flesh. We all battle with these. You're going to have your own thing. I can't speak for you. But not a one of us in this room is clean. We need to get clean. But we get so stinking dirty every day. It's a constant thing of getting clean. But we're tempted all the time. Oh, I'm not tempted. I'm not. You're a liar. If you have a TV in your house, if you have a radio in your car, if you have Facebook, if you drive by billboards, if you have eyeballs, if you have ears, you're tempted. Amen? So it's kind of crazy, but, and then we get, this is one of my pet peeves, you're struggling to stay clean. You're trying to get clean, hopefully. But then the kids in this church or other kids, whether it's in school, whether it's at the ball field, whether it's at a family member's house, oh, they're strong enough. They're soldiers for Jesus Christ. Have you stopped and looked in the mirror? How hard is your battle? Why do you think they can do better than you? I'm not saying we're not going to have to send the kids out to do different things in the school and the ball and all those different things, but don't just have the attitude that they can handle it. I can't handle it as an adult who reads his Bible. It's a daily struggle. Lord, help me to do right. My wife and I were just talking last night to some ladies. And it was, you get a thought, and right away you got to say, God, I'm sorry. Amen. Because your flesh, you're out in this world, you see so much. If you don't tell God you're sorry when you're tempted on things, and the thoughts come in, and you don't get them right, they stay there, and they build. Amen. And before you know it, that thought turns to action. So what I want you to do is I want you to think. So let's look down at verse 6 here, Matthew 4. And saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, this is the devil talking to Jesus, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So here's the pride of life. Let God do it. Amen. We have so many problems where God can do it. God can help that family. God can help those people. God can help that person. God can deal with that situation. Who does God use to do stuff? He uses Christians. So there's something you've got right now on the tip of your tongue. Maybe it's on the edge of your heart. Maybe you've buried it in the back of your head somewhere that God wants you to do. I don't know what it is. But why aren't you doing it? You start to get that mindset, let God do it, let pastor do it, let the street preachers do it, let the Sunday school teachers do it, let the nursing home people, whatever it is, we all should be trying to do it. We can't all do everything, but we should be supportive and encouraging each other for everything, all the different ministries we have here. So my question is, we talked about the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. So let's look at verses 8 and 9 in chapter 4. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. So the lust of the eyes, just let the devil have it. Let the world just deal with it. I'm done. They can just have it all. Many times I've thought about just packing up and running off to the mountains. Wouldn't last long because I don't have enough ammo and I don't fish that well. But the idea is appealing to my flesh, someone who's saved, who has a daughter, who wants to get away from the filth of this world. But it's not realistic. The Lord doesn't want me to do that. The Lord wants me to be here in the dirt and the muck and the mire, but he wants me to be clean. He wants me to be a light. So I'm going to stop with this just for the sake of time. Let's go to Genesis 3:6. When I first started reading my Bible, I always thought, why in the world are those stupid Jews complaining? They were freed out of Egypt. They were slaves, had all these horrible things going on, and they're complaining about a little bit of a walk. How quick we forget. But then, over time, and then listening to the preacher preach and stuff, the Holy Spirit started talking to me, I would have done the same thing because I'm flesh. Now, the closer you stay to God, the more you stay in the book, the easier it is not to mess up, but you're still going to mess up. We're all tempted, amen. So let's look in Genesis 3:6. I'm just going to read one verse here. And this is about Eve. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and pleasant to the eyes and a tree that to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. So I'm not blaming Eve. I'm not going to get into Adam's sacrifice and all that. But Eve went through the same thing. And she was in the Garden of Eden. So I don't know what you're going through. And I'm just going to give you a simple answer that the kids in junior church will tell you. What's going to fix all your problems? Jesus. Well, brother, it's not that easy. How do you know? What are you reading? Because I know for a fact a lot of our church reads Facebook, which is whatever. It's for you and the Lord. They read the internet news. I look at that sometimes too. It's whatever. They read books. They read their Kindles and their iPads and their Twitter. I usually say Twitter. Twitter. They read all these different things. But when I make a comment, when I get an opportunity, where are you reading or how are you reading? Oh, I just don't have time. I'm too busy. You're too busy. Are you kidding me? You're going to do what you love. Amen. Amen. I spoke about it Sunday school. If reading your Bible is a sacrifice because you have to give up something, what a blessing that would be to say, Lord, I'm sacrificing something for you. And then you find out really you're doing nothing for him. You're doing it all for you. But he helps you and blesses you anyway. So we're all tempted, whether it's the wickedest thing you can think of or something that you think is a little white lie, that's not a big deal. It's wrong. You're not going to get cleaner. You need to get clean. So you're going to have to get in the book. You're going to have to be faithful to Sunday school and to different events. You got to understand this church is like every other church. We're no better. This church has held out a little longer, but all the other churches that I've had friends tell me about and when I've traveled and seen, we went to, I think Joe was with Jacksboro, Tennessee, or some weird place. I don't know. It was a small, tiny, rinky-dink church. Hardly anybody there. And they had a little revival. Years ago, they were packed. But over time, it just became a social thing. It wasn't about God. People got upset because their toes got stepped on, because the pastor didn't wear the color tie they wanted him to wear, because he didn't shake their hand, and all the silly little things, because it all became about them. If it's about Jesus Christ, it's easy not to get offended. If it's all about you, you're going to have problems, amen. So you got to figure out what the issue is and what your temptation is or which one you need to work on first. You can work on all of them, but be brave. Say, Lord, I'm serious. I want to know more about you. I want to get closer to you, but I need help with this. You might think it's something stupid. You might think it's something big. I can tell you, Jesus Christ can help you if you're serious. I know people in this church that drinking, they got it overnight. They got saved, or they rededicated their lives, they gave it up overnight. Now, maybe your chemistry is a little different. It might take a few days, whatever. Smoking, lying, eating, whatever it is. If you're serious, I truly believe the Lord can help you. Lord, I just love you, Lord. I just thank you for my church, Lord. I thank you for everybody coming out on a Wednesday night, Lord, on a hot, stinking day, Lord. But as my brother Josh said, Lord, we're not going to hell. And that's something we should be thankful for, Lord. Not only that, Lord, but we should open our mouths and tell others. Lord, this is a great opportunity these next couple days, Lord. Everyone in this room is going to be in a store, a gas station, at work, a school, somewhere, where someone's going to say, it's hot as hell. What an open door that is to say, hell's a lot hotter, and it's not something you need to joke about. I'm going to heaven when I die. What about you? Most people, Lord, will start talking. People are curious. Please, God, help our church to have a backbone, Lord. Help us to open our mouth more, Lord. We don't need to be rude, Lord. We can do it with the love of Christ, Lord, and just do right. But help us to be bold and truthful that people will mistake for rudeness maybe. But help us to be bold and truthful, Lord, and to speak for you. Help us to stand up for the truth no matter what. God, please, if we're not talking to people, someone else is. A JW, Lord, or a Muslim, Lord, or the atheist, Lord. Somebody's talking to them and tickling their ear, Lord. Please help us to give them the truth so the Lord can start doing something, Lord. Please, with our temptations, Lord, help us to fight them, whatever they are, Lord God. Please help us to just step back from some things, Lord, and get in your book. It's so much easier if our eyes are on your words, Lord, and if we're just speaking to you mostly. That puts so many problems, gets rid of them, Lord. Lord, I just love you, and I thank you again for my church, Lord. Be with all the missionaries and preachers and evangelists out there, Lord, and all the people, Lord, the regular, ordinary, Bible-believing people, Lord, that are working and striving for you, Lord, and praying and showing up, Lord. Just please, God, bless them and protect them. Be with our pastor and Miss Linda, and be with the teens and adults that went up to New York, Lord, and be with that camp there, Lord. Help them all to get something, Lord. Help them to get something good that sticks. Again, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.